Who's the man this morning? Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pen, and your lesson plan. Okay, Genesis 17. I have a joke for you. I'm not a joke person. Why were the baby strawberries crying? Their parents were in a jam. Just want to loosen some people up. They're tight, you know, it's Sunday morning, they're tight. It wasn't that bad because they were being preserved. Corny. Why did the teacher have her sunglasses on in class? She had bright students. These are on a little taffy, I came home from Hawaii Friday night. My daughter just hit me one after another. Bam, bam, bam. You know, what do you call a cold dog, a chili dog? Anyway. And listen, we have a marriage retreat coming up, and you could put your deposit down today. We are going to La Quinta. We have a resort this time, and there's 42 pools at this resort. And I went there and stayed, and it really does have 42 pools. It is unbelievable. So go out there and sign up. Genesis 17. When I was walking into the gymnasium for the first assembly in Hawaii, that's how you pronounce it. The W is like a V. I was so scared, and the whole night before I couldn't sleep, kept waking up, very disturbed. Assemblies are very nerve-wracking, but it is one of the funnest things I do once I get into it, but it's very, very nerve-wracking. And I'm walking in, and I was about 100 feet from the door. And the thing I hate about it is that people always want to pray for you, you know, and they want to give you a word from God. The Lord's going to bless you and the Lord, and you're going to help. And I'm like, just get away from me right now, okay? Go pray over. I don't say that, but in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to hear that right now. It's not helping me. I'm just scared, okay? But as I was walking in, the Lord said to me, basically that, you know what? I've appointed you to do this, and I've taken care of everything. The things that you're scared of, you have no reason to be scared of. I've already taken care of it. As we look at Abraham is the father of faith. God called him to be a father of many nations and kings. God called him to have a child at 100 years old. And we're going to see six ways that God had already taken care of it for him. My encouragement to you, and the reason I want to share this with you this morning, is to encourage you as you face the obstacles in your life, and we all have them, challenges that God puts on you, not the ones you put on yourself. Because we put challenges and we create our own problems. Amen? But God puts problems in your life that are problems to you. What do I mean by that? He'll call you to do something that you cannot do. If you ever hear somebody say, if you ever want to get rid of a problem, you need to get a bigger problem. And I'll say that again. You know, if you ever want to get rid of one problem, just get a bigger problem. All of a sudden, that won't be a problem anymore. And our biggest problem is fulfilling what God's called us to do. It's not fulfilling what man. See, we have a lot of pressure because we think we got to please man. If you really want to have a problem, look to try to please God. And that's not a problem in the sense that it's a bad thing. Because what God has called you to do is more important and more monumentous than what any man can call you to do. And what makes it worse, you can't do it. Well, how does it get done? By trusting God. That's the only way you can do it. The problem is we don't want to trust. That's where the stress comes. And so what will help us is to know what God has already done. See, a lot of times God will call you to do something and you don't know what he's already done, so you feel the burden like you got to do it. No. If he can show you what he's already done, it'll blow your mind. So hopefully we're going to look at some of that today. Look in your notes. Six supernatural things that God did. Turning points for Abraham. One, a supernatural and laughable pronouncement. was made to Sarah and Abraham. I'm going to give you six words that starts with a P. A supernatural and laughable, you must be out of your mind, pronouncement. He told Abraham and Sarah at the age of 90 for Sarah and 100 years old for Abraham, you're going to have a baby. You got to be out of your mind, God. I'm walking around like this. Look what it says in verse 17. Abraham, chapter 17, verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? God, Sarah, my wife, is 90. I'm 100. It ain't happening, brother, man. Look at chapter 18, verse 13. Chapter 18, verse 13. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely shall I surely bear a child since I am old? And God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Whenever you worry, whenever you tell God that ain't going to happen, or whenever you worry, you're telling God one of two things. You won't do what you say, or you can't do what you say. You're either a liar, or you're impotent, and you don't have the power. Impotent. You don't have the power. Potent is power. Okay? Watch out now. Watch out now. omnipotent means all powerful. Impotent means not powerful. Okay? We apply it to some, but that's not what I'm applying it to. Okay? God's not powerful. God told Abraham, no, I can do anything I want to do. Look what it says in your notes. Believers in Christ are encouraged to dream beyond laughable proportions. Ephesians 3:20 says God can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. So let me stick here and dream something, and God says, no, I can do beyond that. God will always call you to do something you cannot do. That is a rule. It's a rule. Well, how do you prove that rule? The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things that hope for, the evidence of things not seen. You will always walk in some level of unknownness. God is going to empower you to do things that are supernatural. Supernatural means beyond natural. You are natural, I am natural. He gives you supernatural abilities to match a supernatural calling and a supernatural responsibility. It's beyond you. Should it freak you out? To be freaked out is okay. To be excited, okay. But then take that and say, God, but I trust you. I trust you. Next one. Supernatural purpose is marked by a new name. A supernatural purpose is marked by a new name. Look at chapter 17, verse 5. It says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Look at verse 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of many nations, and kings and peoples shall come from her. When you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that he gave you a new name, Christian. And with that new name came a new relationship with God. The Bible says in Romans 5:1 that you have peace with God. Now, you may not experience that peace. Having the peace that surpasses all understanding fill your heart and mind is different than having the peace of God. What does that mean? Having the peace of God means that there's no strife and tension between you and God anymore as far as God's concerned. Now, whether you experience that or not is up to you. If you meditate on things that are holy and pure and praiseworthy, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind and soul. If you meditate in the Word of God and you pray and you're in tune with God, the peace that you have between you and God, you will experience. But whether you're experiencing it or not has nothing to do with the fact that it exists. When God sees you, you are his child that he loves. There is peace between you and him as far as he's concerned. Now, the devil can lie to you Tell you God's mad at you. He's not going to bless you. He's not listening to your prayers. He's going to strike you with lightning if you mess up again. That's all a lie. And you may react to that lie by worrying. But that has nothing to do with the fact that there was peace between you and God as far as God's concerned. When you receive the name Christian, you are now his child. The Bible says to those who believe in him, he gives the right to become a child of God. When you're born, you're a child of God's wrath. You're a sinner. And he says, I'm going to give you this name Christian, which means now you're in my family. If you're part of the Hatfields, you must hate the McCoys. Even though they made up about 6 months ago, they had a formal makeup. If you play for the Chargers, you're supposed to hate the Raiders. That's only a fan issue. It's not a player issue. But if you're a Raider fan, you're supposed to hate the Chargers and hate everybody. Or if you're a Raider fan, you hate everybody. It's like the Raiders and everybody else. But when you're a Christian, now you belong to God's family. You are a little Christ. Your purpose has changed. Your purpose is no longer about you and your ideas and your family and your business. It's about God. That's what Christian means, by the way. And you may not know that. Again, if you're walking around not knowing what God has done, you're walking a misguided life, and you're worried about things you need not worry about. When I went to that assembly, I was worried, scared, couldn't sleep the night before. Didn't want to be there. Why did I agree to come here? This is so stupid. I ain't ever going to do this again. And if I've done 1,000 assemblies, I probably felt that way 990 times. And they asked me, you got to speak for an hour. An hour. Now, the most I've probably ever longed to speak was 45 minutes, because the class time is usually 45 minutes. And by the time you get out of class, come in, sit down, you know, you got 35, 40 minutes. 60 minutes. Then the second assembly was 80 minutes. An hour. Can you go an extra 20 minutes? I'm like, what are you smoking? An hour and 20 minutes with like 600, and you know what? I did an hour and 20 minutes. It was great. But I was listening to the lies of the devil. And when God says, listen, I've done this, I've gone way ahead of everything you'll ever do. That's what he's telling you. Next one, look at your notes. A supernatural parting from the world is marked by circumcision. Parting, P-A-R-T-I-N-G. Chapter 17, verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants. After you, every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not in your descendant. He who was born in your house and he was bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. God says, I want you to circumcise. Now, Abraham wasn't 8 days old. He's like, God, you have an exemption for an old dude? No. You too, Abraham. Abraham had to get circumcised. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29? That a real Jew is someone who has a circumcised heart. Not a circumcised in the flesh. When you have your heart circumcised, all of a sudden, the foreskin of your heart, symbolic, all of a sudden now is gone. You can see. See God differently. See people. You know, a lot of times we have strife with people because we're blinded from what's really going on. People, all people are sinners. Amen? All people have some kind of issue with their sin. And because we don't want to see that, and we just want to see fault in them so we can feel better about ourselves, and the more you talk about other people, it's just symbolic of how insecure you are and how blind you are to reality, your own sin, the fact that they're a sinner. The more we get let down by people, because we put them so high on a pedestal thinking they're never going to mess up and they should act perfectly, that's misguided. Don't ever feel that about a person. We should only feel that way about God. God is always right. Even when he does stuff we don't like, you better assume he's right. There was a young lady at the school. I was having this all-day battle with this girl. Not a battle, but I kept trying to get to come to this outreach. I saw her in the beginning of the day in the gym, and then I saw her again. I said, I want you to come. And she, anyway, make a long story short, she couldn't come to the outreach, so she came to football practice with her little friends. Just a little girl. I could talk to you for half an hour about this little hot mommy. And she says, I have a problem with God. I said, why? She says, well, he didn't do something that he was supposed to do. I said, what? My sister was born dead. And she was supposed to be alive. And I said, you know what? I understand you being hurt about that, but who says she was supposed to be alive? I said, that's just what you wanted. I said, how do you know that God wasn't protecting your little sister from a terrible life, getting raped, beat? And he says, I want her to come straight to heaven. And you want to bring her down out of heaven to come down here just so you can have her. Now, I said that very gently because it is a very sensitive issue, but that is the other side to the story. And her friends are sitting there nodding their head, yeah, we never thought about that. I said, it's understandable you want her, you want to see her, but you have to understand God knows stuff you don't know. And who are you to tell God he's wrong? You don't know the end of the story. And so we all have to understand that there's so much we don't know. All we need to know is that we need God. We're sinners, and God, I need to do what you want me to do. And when he gave you name Christian, he circumcised your heart. He says, now I'm going to give you a new identity. You're going to have a new relationship with me, a new purpose. I'm now going to show you things you never knew, you never saw about people, about yourself, about this world, your life, your community, your neighbors. But we don't want to see it. We just want to keep looking at things the same way. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to pray. We shy away. And God's trying to pull us so he can show us a whole new reality about what this world is about, what our life is about. He told Abraham, I want you to circumcise, but that circumcision is going to be in your flesh, but with a Christian, it's going to be the heart. Look at the next one. Supernatural provision was given of the promised land. Provision. And verse 8, it just says that. Let me just go to the next verse. It says, next, supernatural preparation of Sarah's body was enabled her to have a son at 90 years of age. Can you imagine? Turn to chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. It says, verse 9, then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? He said, here in the tent. He says, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. The time of life is 40 weeks in the womb. How does God know that? Because he designed it that way. He didn't figure it out. He established the time of life because he created us. And the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham said to Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? She was past the age of childbearing. God says, I'm going to give you an ability to do something you can't do. Look in your notes. Believers in Christ are blessed with spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that God has given you are supernatural abilities to accomplish something in his spiritual kingdom that you can't do with flesh. I can never give anybody salvation. It's impossible. Only God can do that. My job is to simply share the truth. Your job is simply to share the truth. And then God does the forgiving. God does the cleansing. God does the purifying. God does the renewing of the mind. God takes out the heart of stone and puts in the heart of flesh. Only God can do that. Only God can give you desires to read your Bible, desires to pray, desire to forgive somebody who you don't like. Desire to forgive somebody who you don't like who really did something to you wrong. Well, why would God let that happen? Wait till the end of the story. Why would someone do that? Wait till the end of the story. So many people have so many issues that we know not of. And he says, I'm going to give you the ability to teach. I'm going to give you the ability to evangelize. I'm going to give you the ability to pray. I'm going to give you the ability to organize. I'm going to give you the ability to see vision. Abilities that you do not have in of yourself. And now, when you're born of your mother, you have natural talent. When you're born of God, you have spiritual gifts. You might want to make that distinction. When you're born of your mother, you have natural talent. And talent could be ideas. It could be physical talent. It could be mental talent. It could be strategic talent. Those are given to you at birth. And like I said, given to you at birth by God. So there's no reason to be prideful about it because you didn't create it. Then when you're born again, God gives you more talent called spiritual gifts. So you got natural talent and you got spiritual gifts. And guess what? Those two are usually work together. That's not a coincidence either. God knew what he was making you when he made you. And he knew the spiritual gifts he had that would go in conjunction with your natural talent. See, I have a natural talent to run my mouth. I've always had it, didn't know it. Before I got saved, I would never speak in public. That's like the number one fear in humans, is speaking in public, the dentist, death. And to be honest with you, fear of the dentist and fear of speaking in public, I don't know if they're one, two, but they are before the fear of death. They really are. A lot of you, because a lot of people, they don't think about that. This is not going to happen later, but I'm going to have to speak in public now. I don't want to do that. But I had the ability to blah, 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 blah. But then God supernaturally put on top of that the evangelism deal, the teaching deal. And then he says, I'm going to give you ideas so you have something to talk about. But God did that with every single one of you. Do you know what they are? If you don't know what they are, they're just wasting away. Now, they won't waste away where they'll be useless, but they're just sitting there going, well, when do we do get to do something? Isn't that a shame? That you would have talents and gifts that are supernatural in nature, unlimited in potential, and you're not using them? You don't even know what they are? And God is like, I want to do amazing things through them. I want to do amazing things through them. You know that volleyball player you saw in the video? I just met them on the trip. I never met them before. Didn't even know their name until that day. And, you know, she cried every altar call. She would always sit right there. She's like this. And she started crying. And she said, you just asked them to stand up and they stood up. She's not used to that. And when God does what God can do, it blows your mind. When God does what God can do, it blows your mind. Our job is to get out of the way. Our job, matter of fact, let me keep going. I'll tell you how to do that. Next one. And this is the last one. Now, let me spell this word for you. Some of you may know how to spell it. I did not, so I'm assuming that I'm not the only one that didn't know. Because I don't want to be the only one that didn't know. A supernatural prerogative. Prerogative is P-R-E-R-O-G-A-T-I-V-E. I didn't know that. I thought it was P-E-R. P-R, prerogative. And the prerogative was Genesis 17:1. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. You know what God told him? Abraham? I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and do not mess up. I went to the desert for a day, 24-hour period. Sleep out in the tent. I'm not a tent guy. I'm a Marriott guy. So this was a big deal for me. I was uncomfortable. I was scared. I mean, you know, at my, I hear coyotes all the time. We all hear coyotes, depending on where you live. I don't know where you live, but I hear coyotes in my house tearing stuff up. But out there, you hear like 40 of them. I mean, you can hear them coming. You know, it was what I had a tent. Well, I could have got my car, I guess, but Matter of fact, I didn't have that. He dropped me off. So I didn't have a car to get it. Anyway, I'm out there in the desert. Took my shoes off. I wanted to see what it was like to walk in the wilderness. When God told Moses to take his shoes off before he would stand on holy ground, he was in the wilderness. The wilderness was not Yosemite. The wilderness was the desert. If you ever go to the desert and take your shoes off, you ain't going to walk around like you had, you know, Del Mar Beach. There's needles, thorns, sharp rocks, creatures. There's stuff on the ground that will hurt you. And you end up walking like this. You know, unless you got some real thick leather feet. You end up walking around like this. And God told Moses and he told Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. Be very careful what you say, what you do, what you think, what you wear, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, who you associate with. Be very, very careful. Don't mess up. If you take that seriously, God, you will see miracles happen in your life. I was on a plane flying from here to somewhere in Ohio, Cincinnati, Columbus. We landed in Cincinnati, Columbus. We decided to drive. And there was two of us on the plane. One, it was an empty seat in the middle, and this guy from Stanford jumped in the middle of the seat. He was a partier. He was going to the soccer Final Four. Hey, dude, what's happening, dude? You know, just one of them dudes. He had just come from Las Vegas. Now he's on his way to another, you know, beer drinking deal. Make a long story short, we decided to get out and drive because the plane was going to be delayed 3 hours, and I couldn't wait. I had to go speak at this deal. So I say to Mark, who was with me, let's get out and drive. This brother says, can I go? And I'm thinking, no. I really don't want to take you. I'm sorry. I'm thinking this in my mind. I don't want you to come. And because he was driving me crazy on the plane. But I didn't have the heart. I don't know. I just punked out. I said, all right, come on. So we get out. I'm thinking, let's walk real fast. Maybe we'll just lose him, okay? I wish I could tell you this whole story. But to make a long story short, as we're walking out the plane, he yells to the back of his plane because his friend is back there. Let's go. We're driving. Now it's road trip. Now this guy comes running down the aisle of the plane with his bag, and I got two guys. So we get in the airport, and we're walking, and they're just talking all happy, you know, and they got their bags. And I say, okay, stop. You got any drugs in the bag? You got any alcohol in the bag? No. They whoa. This guy's an adult. So I said, there's two rules, no drugs and alcohol, none. You know what, I can't afford to get stopped for their problems. You know, I got to walk for God and be blameless. I said, that's rule number one. Rule number two, the whole drive, I do the talking, y'all do the listening, no talking. Them dudes in the back seat like this. So we got in the car. I said, I got one phone call to make. Then we'll talk. I don't know what I did. And I said, okay, now let's talk. And I shared the gospel with these guys. The Jewish guy gets saved. The Presbyterian church going guy goes, well, I got to think about it. Oh, and again, that's a whole nother hilarious story. But I'm going to tell you this. When God tells us, if you walk before me and be careful to do everything I tell you, and you will not know what those things are until right before. God's not going to tell you everything. So when you leave here today, he has some stuff planned for you today. You're going to go out and get brunch, maybe. And there's going to be someone right there in your line that God's going to put right in your face. And you, how you doing? I just died. And you're going to go, well, I'll pray for you, buddy. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Stop. That's the cue. The cue. Someone's going to come to you, and maybe you're so thick, someone's going to come to you and say, I really need God. And you're going to go, oh, go to the Rock on Sunday. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's the cue. And maybe you're so thick, God's going to say, I need God. Can you share with me right now? And you're going to go, hold up. I got to call somebody up. I need a lifeline. What is that show? Lord, we trust that you have a supernatural life plan for all of us. We trust that our job is to just do what we can do, which is to trust you every step of the way. That's it. But here's the amazing thing about God. When you're walking with God, you have to know these things, that he's done all this, and you have to look for them. Look for not only opportunities, but look for the things he does in your life that are miraculous. The divine appointments, the divine provision in your life, whether it be jobs, finances, opportunities, wisdom, answers. You know, I was, at the end of last year, God challenged me in my purpose of my life. We read the purpose of my life. My wife said, don't you know your purpose? I said, well, not. I don't know that I really know. So we read the book, and it really transformed, helped me get clarity in my purpose. And one of the things I wanted to do was to debate issues in the public sector. So I got, since that, I've debated and talked about this gay marriage thing and the relative truth thing on the radio, on television. And God has opened up these opportunities. I didn't seek any of them. All I'm doing is getting ready for them. And then boom, they came. Boom, they came. Boom, they came. That's God. And so my point is, God will throw opportunities your way, and you'll be like, where'd that come from? Don't ask where it came from. Give God credit. Give God credit. And so again, you walk blameless and watch God do this stuff. And one of the reasons God answers prayer, and please take this to the bank. One of the reasons God answers prayer, and it's in the Bible, John 14. Write this down. He answers prayer to encourage you to pray more. He answers prayer so he can get the credit and encourage you to pray more. You give God glory. Lord, I thank you, and I'm going to even pray more. He wants you to depend on prayer. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to depend on his word. He doesn't want you to walk independent. The first step is to ask him to be your savior. Lord, I realize that you do have a plan for my life, and I realize that it's better than what I have. Supernatural. I need you to forgive me of my sin. So let's pray right now. Because somebody here today, you know God is calling you. You know he loves you. You know he wants to forgive you. So let's pray right now. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you for our permit, God. Another confirmation we're going in the right direction. But Lord, there may be somebody here today whose life needs to change this morning. They need to receive you as their Savior. They know they're a sinner. They know you died for them. And they just want you to love them and forgive them this morning. If that's you, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. And I believe Jesus loves me. I receive your forgiveness, God. I receive your love. I want to be born all over again, God. Right now, I want to be born all over again. If you prayed that prayer, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, you just entered from death to life. And as I'm praying and as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you right now, if you prayed that prayer, just to get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Yes, that is a big thing. But God has done an amazing thing in your life. And I want to ask you right now, if you pray that prayer and you're saying this morning, yes, Lord, I want to walk away from my past. Just get up out of your seat right now and come on down to the altar. Right now. Good. Come on down. God bless you. Anybody else, just get up out of your seat. God bless you. Come on down to the altar. Good. Right here. Right here. Right here. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. They're right there. Good. Anybody else? Come on down. God bless you. Good. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Anybody else? Good. Come on down. Come on down. Good. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Come on down here. God bless you. God bless you. You guys are so brave. You know that God loves you so much. And he has an amazing plan for your life. And the Bible says that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. God does not lie. He does not lie. I did an assembly at Madison High School. Two of them in the last month. And this girl was there. Amen. 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 And actually, they came a couple weeks ago. And the Sunday after the assembly. And God loves all of y'all. And I want to pray for y'all. Then we're going to send you over here for prayer. If any of y'all need prayer today, we have people who want to pray for you. This week, your job, be blameless. Do the best you can to do everything God calls you to do. And if you pass the opportunity, like you should have talked to somebody, stop and go back. They'll be waiting for you. They will be waiting for you. It is going to be nerve-wracking. You're going to get nervous in your stomach, nauseous. He's going to call you to do something that's going to scare you to death. You know what? I was there the other day. It ain't gonna ever going to change. So just get used to it. But when you pass through that place of being fearful and you do what God tells you, oh, it's so much fun. I wish y'all could go to, as a matter of fact, come to some of our events and come see these kids. 1,000 kids, 1,500 kids just sitting there listening, laughing at themselves and being told, don't get high, don't have sex, wait till you get married, believe in your dreams, all the stuff that's in the Bible. And going, okay, there's got to be more than that to it. Yes, there is. That's where you need Jesus. That's why she's here. So let's pray for them. And then be good this week. Be good. Lord, we just pray for these people. We pray you bless them. Bless them. Honor their faith for stepping up and getting out of their seat and coming down here. What a big decision. Thank you, Lord, for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have all y'all walk that way. That guy over there. Who's your man?